The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Punt. Alex Dunn here with Lee Phelps to look ahead to the best of the midweek action. Got four Champions League quarterfinals, second legs to look forward to. Gonna have a quick look at the Europa League as well as Everton travel to Kiev. But first, we'll have a look back at the best of what went over the weekend in the Premier League. Hello, Lee Phelps.
Hi, you well?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, good. I must say that ever since you told me to not back Newcastle, that's done me proud.
Yeah.
Since, I like that.
It's you know, you can make money from your team losing.
From negatives. Yeah. It was a mad weekend though in the Premier League. I was stunned by Man City's result. I thought they would beat Burnley, and that's not being disrespectful to Burnley, but they have to win those games to stay on Chelsea's coattails. And as it is, I mean, I think the title's over. It's probably been over for a few weeks. But what about, you're looking in second on 58 points, Man City. Realistically, even down to Liverpool could finish second, 51 points. I think it's going to be one of the three in second, third or fourth. But
Man
United, 2 points behind City all of a sudden.
Liverpool do have a game
of course,
in hand.
As we record this, they're playing tonight, aren't they?
Yeah. So
they move up to 54 and they're only 4 points behind City. It's fascinating. All of a sudden, that market without Chelsea looks really interesting. I mean, we've still got the market without Chelsea and Man City on the website. So you're looking at the team to finish third there. Man United, 5-2. Could they overtake Arsenal? They're only a point behind them. Arsenal, you know, I think they are a strong team.
I think crucially they're playing Newcastle at the weekend. So.
Yeah. just because Man United played exceptionally well against Tottenham, I don't think it means that they've necessarily turned the corner.
They were very good though.
They were great, you know, and if they can continue that, then brilliant. Really just needs to be sparked out every week by one of his mates, doesn't he? Southampton 50-1, Tottenham 50-1, and Liverpool 6-1. You know, the value has to be Liverpool in that market, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, if they do win against Swansea, as we record this, that's to come, and they're only 4 points behind City and three behind Arsenal, then it could be interesting. There's some intriguing games to come as well with the teams playing each other towards the end of the season. So, yeah, fascinating. At the other end, I'm writing QPR off. Leicester, I think they're gone.
Yeah,
it's just that last spot, isn't it? Sunderland, of course, getting rid of Gus Poyet. Burnley, so in the relegation zone, a point behind Sunderland. You would imagine they might just get a boost, Sunderland. But the least amount of wins with Leicester all season long.
Mm.
They scored fewer goals than Leicester. Villa look like they're going to score goals. Interestingly, the team who scored the fewest goals in the Premier League have been relegated in 8 of the last 10 seasons. So, you know, they're hardly defensively brilliant either. 43 conceded, Sunderland. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one, but if you're looking for value, maybe Sunderland, QPR and Leicester are the bet now.
Yeah, I mean, you'd say anyone north of Hull is okay there.
Yeah.
Despite the fact, like you said, Newcastle, if they had 5 points less, then you'd be definitely sweating. But
they all seem to accumulate some points from somewhere, though, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't know where they get them from. During the season, at some point, I think they'll stash a few points away.
Shut down in January.
Yeah.
Great goal by George Boyd, though, got to say. As a left footer, that is...
Absolute peach, wasn't it?
Was beautiful.
They've got doubles on the website at the minute. Relegation doubles. So Leicester and QPR, 2-5. Burnley and Leicester, 6-5. QPR and Sunderland, 21-10. I could have a little go on that.
I don't mind that.
Depends who they get in, obviously. But, you know, they've not got much time to change things round. I suppose, you know, I think Villa will probably have enough now. So I think you're looking at three from the four who are in 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. I think they'll have enough. I think they'll just pick up enough points and just trundle over the line. The home form isn't that bad and they've got goals in them.
They're defensively moderately solid as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
They can, when they win, it tends to be a 1-0.
I think they'll draw the way to safety.
Yeah. Okay.
And not in an artistic sense.
No, I like that though. That would be nice. If you just saw, you know, Alex Bruce just
sketching on the sideline.
what are you doing? Just, we'll stay up, you'll see, you'll see.
It's a still life. At the end of the match, just a picture of a bowl of fruit.
Dad, will you stop moving the fruit? Right. Shall we look at the Champions League then?
Let's.
Where should we start? Do you want to start with Atleti or Monaco?
I don't mind.
We're going to start with Monaco.
Okay.
Against Arsenal. This one is Tuesday evening, 7:45. Monaco 21-10, the draw 12-5. Arsenal are 5-4. Of course, 3-1 in the first leg to the French side. A real shock there. Arsenal have been very, very good of late, though, apart from that first leg. Huge ask against a Monaco side that are pretty tight defensively. But they have opened up a little bit in recent games, Monaco. Not necessarily from a defensive point of view, but they are scoring a few more, which was If you go back a couple of months, Unders was an absolute banker in all Monaco games. They have kept clean sheets in 10 of their 12 home games in all competitions. 10 of their last 12, I should say. Arsenal 4-1 to qualify, Lee.
I can't make an argument for them to score three goals.
No.
And keep Monaco out. You know, in addition to that, half of their league earned games have seen them keep a clean sheet. They didn't concede a goal in the group stages at home. Now you could argue that, you know, Arsenal are a better team than they faced in the group stages. I'm going to be really intrigued to see how Arsenal go about this. I think they should just go out there guns blazing. I think it would be daft to kind of to try and ease their way into the game, because the longer this goes on and Monaco are keeping a clean sheet, then, I mean, they kept a clean sheet against PSG the other weekend. I think it was a tip that you guys put up on the European Football Podcast. If they can keep a clean sheet against a PSG side at home, why can't they? They'll only go with one thing on their mind. We don't concede many goals here. It doesn't matter. They can lose 2-1 and still go through, of course.
Yeah.
You know, if they score, Monaco are through, I think.
But I think Arsenal's pace, I think they're going to cause problems here. I can see them notching a few, because I think you'll have Walcott, Sanchez. Obviously, Giroud's in good form. He's not not the pace angle, but he's still in decent nick. The way they played against West Ham was fantastic. And I think if they can get an early goal, I think it's interesting to see the team news, firstly. I can't see Ozil having much of an influence in this game if he starts. I think Walcott is a key to away from home on the break, you know. But I say on the break, are Monaco going to do much attacking? It's hard to see Arsenal winning, but I think Arsenal... it's hard to see Arsenal qualifying, but I think Arsenal might be a decent bet to win tonight. 5-4 isn't huge, but it's not too bad, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, you're right. Everything depends on how the teams shape up and how the game starts. If Arsenal do get an early goal, Monaco could get quite nervy, couldn't they? Mm. You know, and I think, you know, the best Wenger teams are the teams that attack. And attack and go for it. Now, they have to score three, of course.
Yeah.
And not concede. You know, obviously, well, if they won 3-1, then it goes, you know, obviously goes all the way, you know, through to extra time.
If they concede a goal, nothing changes as far as they're concerned in terms of staying alive.
But scoring four? I mean, I know they could go through to, you know, to extra time and penalties and all the rest of it. But, you know, it just seems an awful lot to ask of Arsenal to get that done when the pressure is on them to score goals. But I think that's how they will go out there and do it. You know, it's a long, long time since Monaco conceded three goals at home. Mm. You have to go back to the 9th of September 2011. When Angers won 3-1, they were in Ligue 2 at the time, Monaco, of course. So, I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen very often, and I find it a bit of a stretch. But I do think that they'll score goals, and I'd rather back Giroud to make amends for what happened in the first leg when he just, you know, he got into some great positions but just couldn't finish. He's really played well since that horror show at the Emirates. Scored in the 2-0 win over Everton, scored away at QPR, didn't score in the Man United game in the FA Cup, but scored in that 3-0 win at the weekend over West Ham. 7-5 for him to score. I'd rather back that than Arsenal to win at 5-4, to be honest. Mm. And I'd be happy with just that bet. I do think Arsenal will win the game, though. I think they could win it maybe 2-1 and be pushing and pushing and pushing. But the one thing we know is if they go and do what you think they'll do and play with pace on the break, they are terrible at the back when they open up. They were naive. They shouldn't be in this situation. They should have lost the game 2-1. And it's only because they were looking to try and get more goals that they ended up conceding that third, and that's what's killed them. I think it's 2-1. I'd be happy with them going to Monaco.
Well, one thing I don't mind as well, rather than backing them to qualify at 4-1, which we've agreed is a tough ask, half-time, full-time is 11-4. It's only a little bit less, and you're getting the 2-1 in your favour there.
Mm.
I think
Monaco will be stronger defensively than we think here, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Their game plan has to be defend.
Sure, yeah.
Do what they did against PSG and, you know, and get a 0-0. That has to be their game plan. So I think it's all about how much Arsenal throw at it. And the longer the game goes on, they have to throw more and more at it. So, I'm picking a goal scorer just to be safe, really. And because it's a bigger price than the Arsenal win, I'm happy to go for that.
Okay. Right, so best bet in this game?
Giroud to score at any time for me at 7-5.
Fair enough. You can put it in the headline offer if you want. That's Giroud to score, Arsenal to win 90 minutes at 4-1 if you do think Arsenal will win. That's just the game tonight, not to qualify. Okay, next up is Atletico Madrid against Bayer Leverkusen, also on Tuesday evening. Atleti 8-13, the draw 13-5. Leverkusen are 9-2. 1-0 in the first leg to Leverkusen in Germany. And I've loved watching Leverkusen this season. typically free-flowing, but they've now kept five clean sheets in a row, which if you'd have said to me that that was going to happen earlier in the season, I'd laughed at you because they were famous for, you know, throwing everything at teams and letting in a few as well. Atleti have failed to score in four of the last six as well. So it's a tricky one to call this, because you'd say Atleti at home, 8-13 seems a fair price. But recent form and stats point to Leverkusen maybe getting something here and therefore qualifying. Even money Atleti qualify 8-11 for Leverkusen.
Yeah, it's that away goal, isn't it? They get an away goal, suddenly the pressure on Atletico Madrid will be huge. 1-0 lead, of course, from the first leg, which I didn't see many people predicting. I would say, though, I mean, Atletico Madrid's home form in the Champions League is imperious. Haven't conceded a home goal since they beat Milan 4-1 last March. They've beaten Olympiacos 4-0, Malmo 5, Juve 1-0. Of course, Chelsea 0-0 as well. Last season they beat Barca 1-0 as well in the Champions League at home. So they've got a very, very strong record at home. Bayer Leverkusen can score. That's the thing. It's I think Atletico Madrid win this. My only quandary is whether they win it. I mean, I'm talking about the 90 minutes here. My only quandary is whether to go for them just to win 8-13 or for them to win with both teams to score. There's a huge difference there, 16-5. Now Bayer, I'm sure, will just sit in and let Atletico Madrid have the ball and try and hit them on the break. But, you know, look at their recent form, and this is all competitions. They've scored in a lot of their away games recently. Their away form in the Champions League, they lost at Monaco, beat Zenit 2-1. Are they strong enough? Are they strong enough to even get a goal? That's the question mark for me. I think in the end, I'll probably just go for Atletico Madrid to win the match at 8-13. But I am sorely tempted by it. 16-5 looks massive.
I think Leverkusen could nick one here. I know Atleti are really solid at home in particular and defensively, but I wouldn't be surprised if Leverkusen score here.
They're 2-0 up. Atletico Madrid need to score three.
Yeah. I'm going to take a chance, anytime goal scorer, Karim Bellarabi. Got the assist in the first game for Kalinoglu's goal and is frighteningly quick. He's the kind of player, much like Walcott for Arsenal, who you wouldn't want running at you. And I think as the game wears on, he'll get more and more space and chances. And he's not the most prolific of goal scorers, but he'll certainly be there or thereabouts. So I think at threes, it's a fair poke.
I think on the home team side of things as well, you know, not one of the goal scorers is odds on in a game where they need to score goals. You know, Griezmann, who's been in great form recently, of course, he's 21-20. Mandzukic, you've talked a bit about him a lot on the European Football Podcast. A little bit of a disagreement between you and Ray usually on him, but he's a goal scorer, isn't he? We know that. 21-20 as well. Torres is 13-10, of course, in the Champions League squad now for Atletico Madrid. So, intriguing game. I wouldn't be surprised if Bayer Leverkusen get through with a 2-1 defeat. But I'm going to go for, I think, I'd rather back Atletico Madrid to win 8-13 than Bayer Leverkusen to qualify 8-11. Yeah. So, Atletico Madrid to win the game 8-13 for me.
Okay. I agree with you there. I'll chuck Bellarabi in at threes just for...
It's a nice. That looks nice. If they are going to score, then that's a decent decent shout, isn't it? Because you can see it coming on a break.
Right, next up, Barcelona against Manchester City. Barca 2-5, the draw 19-5, Man City 6-1. Of course, 2-1 to Barca in the first leg in Manchester. Man City arrive off the back of a defeat at Burnley that we touched on earlier. Joe Hart's penalty save gave them a slight chance in this one, but Barca are 1-16 to qualify. And they're that price for a reason, aren't they, Lee? 7-1 for Manchester City. It's a huge ask for them to go there and get anything. Joe Hart's save has given them a glimmer, though, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. But, I mean, and I must admit, the last couple of weeks I've been toying with an argument for making an argument for Man City to somehow get through here. Because that Roma display was really, really good. You know, that, remember when they played Roma? Roma were on that amazing, they had the best defence in Europe, I think, at the time. They were on that amazing run. They hadn't conceded to anyone for absolutely ages. And City were written off. And they went there and won 2-0. I mean, you know, since then, you know, kind of Roma have had a real bad patch. But then they went to Burnley and they looked terrible, didn't they? Man City. How can they keep Messi, Suarez and Neymar at bay? That's the problem I've got for them. If they, how do they win 2-0 effectively in this game?
Which they will have to do.
I think they have to do.
Because they're not going to win 3. They could take it to extra time at a push. They're not going to score three, in my opinion.
I just don't think they're together enough, Alex. You know, we know that there's been a few problems off the pitch. I don't think they're confident enough. When they went to Roma and did that, they were in the middle of arguably the best run of the season. Mm. You know, they were winning games hand over fist in the Premier League. You know, they'd been on this great run when they went to Roma. They'd beaten Everton, they'd beaten Sunderland, Southampton, they'd beaten Bayern Munich in the Champions League, and they'd beaten Swansea. So they were really flying. Well, the form now isn't anything like that. You know, three defeats in the last four, of course, one of those being the Barcelona defeat. And if you think back to that Barcelona game, they could have been any number down at half-time, couldn't they? Mm. They looked bereft. And as we all know, the problem they've had with Barca, not only is the brilliance of their opponents, is keeping men on the pitch. You know, last season they had the McKillis sent off in the home leg, and then they went away and had Zabaleta sent off. Mm. They give themselves too much to do. This time, of course, in the home leg, they had Clichy sent off. They have to keep 11 men on the pitch. I know it sounds, you know, an obvious thing to say, but unless they can do that, then I don't think they can get anything out of this game at all. I'm really struggling. You know, Barcelona are masters at this as well. That, you know, that they're just so good at getting through these kind of matches, Barca. You know, when they win a first leg, they tend to get through in the second one. You know, I think it's 33 out of 35 times when they've won the first leg in a UEFA competition, they've got through, they've qualified.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling to find an argument for City. I'd love to see them do it. Again, going on the goal scorers, I can see them getting chances. And again, you know, I think if you find Sergio Aguero at 9-5 on any patch of grass in the world, you have to back him.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. We've got two headline offers here that are both pretty tempting. Messi and Suarez both to score and Barca to win at 4s. Aguero to score, Man City to win in 90 minutes at 8-1. But I think that Aguero at 9-5 is perfectly fair. I think City could feasibly score here. They're going to have to, of course. They're going to have to set out in a slightly more attacking way. Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't think they'll qualify. But at 1-16, I'm not going to put that up as a bet.
Messi and Aguero to both score at any time is 19-5.
That's quite worth. Nice.
I mean, there was a special offer for the last leg that Hill's put out, so it might be worth having a look and seeing what offers they're putting out ahead of this match. You might get a nice goal scorer offer that's enhanced. I think it was 5-1 last time. So yeah, that might be worth a look. But yeah, as far as the game goes, I think Barcelona will just accept whatever City throw at them. And I think City have to go for this now. Pellegrini's job's on the line. I think if they're not immediately, but I think if they go out in this game and then they don't get anything out of the Premier League and, you know, potentially finish, you know, worse than second, then I think he'll be on his way. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how the players adapt to this. But I'm really struggling. You know, Barcelona's home form has been brilliant. I suppose there are those two games, you know, against Malaga and Celta Vigo, where you think, what happened then? You know, they lost 1-0 on both those occasions. If Celta Vigo and Malaga can go there and do that, then why can't Man City? But I think, I mean, you'll probably tell me better, but they probably just took their eye off the ball in those games against weaker opposition. They've not done that. They've scored 6 against Real Vallecano and 5 against Levante as well. But
they've really sort of been a slow burner this season. They started off defending well and winning 1-2-0, and then slowly they've sort of grinded it out, and now they're sort of free-flowing again. But they do play Real on Sunday in El Clasico.
True.
So I'm not suggesting they'll rest players, but if City can catch them off guard early, if their mind is elsewhere, could be a little bit tempting. Mm. I can't find the price on our console for a penalty to be awarded. I've been looking for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's usually in the other markets right down the bottom, isn't it? They've got to score a header and to score from outside the penalty area and all the rest of it, but I can't find that either. That'll probably appear as we get closer to the match.
Okay,
I'd like to have a look at... I bet, what would it be? I mean, it won't be any bigger than 2-1.
I just think that there's a chance. We obviously had one in the first leg, but what I'd do is, and I think it's normally a market, back at... there to be a penalty and it to be missed. I think Messi's penalties this season have been really poor. I think he's missed 4 from 8.
Yeah, that's right.
And he scored one at the weekend against Eibar, but it wasn't, the keeper went the right way. You know, it wasn't unsavable by any means. Joe Hart's already saved one of his in the first leg. Not necessarily just a Barca penalty, but I think you don't get many penalties at the Nou Camp, do you?
No.
If you're an away side.
No.
So just something to look at if you're looking for an interest bet more than anything.
Yeah.
If it's an attractive price, if you're getting maybe 6s, 7s about a penalty to be awarded and missed, maybe worth 50 pence.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a nice one as well. Have a look in play as well. There might be a few bets in play, like special bets, given what happened in the first one. Both teams to score, by the way, it's 8-15 in this match.
Too short for that.
Very short. But you know, I think if whatever you're backing, you know, Barcelona are 2-5, right? Both teams to score is 8-15. Mm. Barcelona to win and both teams to score is 17-10.
Mm.
I like that. If you think Barcelona are going to win the game, then why wouldn't they? They've apart from those two results, they've won. You know, they've beaten Atletico Madrid by 3-1. They beat PSG 3-1. I can see a similar scoreline here, Alex. I can see City being a bit too open. We know defensively that they're fragile. I think Barca will win the game 2-3-1. So that Barca to win and both teams to score is a nice bet. They're not going to sit back and let Man City have it their own way. You know, and Man City haven't got the confidence, in my opinion. I think they're too scared of the big guns in the Champions League. They showed that at the Etihad. They looked in awe of these players. And, you know, Messi and Neymar can have an off night. Suarez will do the business. Suarez and Neymar, you know, Messi will pop up. Suarez has really been warming into his role at Barcelona over the last few weeks. Any specials revolving around them guys scoring, then I'd be having a look. I mean, you know, 4-6 Messi to score, 4-5 Suarez, 10-11 Neymar. You know, probably I'd probably pick Suarez out of the three of them, I guess, at the minute. But Aguero at 9-5, you know, he's in the same bracket as them guys.
Messi anytime at 4-6. I know I've just said, oh, penalties. That's a big price.
He's never that price.
Man City can't defend, and they don't have a holding midfielder who is any good. I think that 4-6 is.
It's just.
I don't want to say banker material,
but. It's just a bit. It just instinctively feels too short.
It does, but.
For a goal scorer.
But not him. On every European podcast, we look at Messi and Ronaldo anytime prices, just to see if they can find a bit of value. And time and time again, they are 1-3, 1-4, you know, 1-2.
Yeah.
When they are 4-6, you think, right, well, why is that? Who are they coming up against? Martin De Michelis? Yes, I will take that. Thank you very much. Even Vincent Kompany, he gave him the runaround.
Yeah.
And even if he doesn't, he'll have Neymar and Suarez pulling him out of position, and he hasn't looked as solid in recent weeks, Kompany. I think that 4-6 is, personally, as good a 4-6 as you're going to get in a game like this.
Yeah, no, fair enough. The only other thing on the goal score is if you want to go Suarez to score two or more for the third successive time against Joe Hart, and that's 19-5.
Nice. Okay, shall we move on to the final, quarter-final?
Yes.
Borussia Dortmund against Juventus, this one Wednesday, 7:45. 2-1 to Juve, of course, in the first leg. Dortmund 5-4, the draw 23-10. Juve potentially a bit big at 11-5, but they don't have to win here. Dortmund have kept four clean sheets in a row, but they will need one to go through here because Juve do not ship many goals. Dortmund have to keep a clean sheet and hope that they can grab a couple. Dortmund 6-4 to qualify. Juve 1-2. It's priced up fairly, in my opinion, on the qualify markets. I think Juve, though, to win or... I haven't seen what price we can get drawn or bet, but I think there might just be a bit of value here because Dortmund, for all that their season has picked up a bit, they're not scoring that many and Juve don't let in many, so I could see maybe a 1-0 Juve here.
11-8. The draw, no bet.
That's a good price.
I was thinking along the same sort of lines, to be honest with you. I mean, Juve plus a goal, 8-13 is worth a look.
That's really good.
You know, historically, if you said Italian team going away in Europe to get a draw, you'd be like, yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, and their away form doesn't fill you full of too much confidence. You know, all right, they beat Piemma last time they're out. They drew with Roma. They drew with Cesena and Udinese in Serie A.
But at the same time, they don't have to. Their foot is off the gas in the league because Roma have been so poor since the turn of the year, really.
Yep.
They've drawn too many games and Juve have got the league wrapped up.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
All their focuses will be on this game tonight.
Their away form in the Champions League hasn't been clever either. You know, you look at this season, lost 1-0 at Atletico Madrid, lost 1-0 at Olympiacos, did beat Malmo 2-0. That win in Malmo was the first time they'd won away from home in the Champions League since they beat Celtic 3-0 in February of 2013. To be fair, they'd been to Bayern Munich and lost 2-0. They drew in Copenhagen and they lost 2-1 to Real Madrid, plus a defeat to Galatasaray in 2013. So it's not, you know, not all those teams are, you know, are brilliant. You know, the Galatasaray and Olympiacos results, they're smelly for me. I'm not keen on those. But I think knowing what they have to do, as you say, all they have to do is sit back and defend. And if they get a break and they manage to nick one on the break, then they're in a great position, aren't they? Because that means they've got the away goal as well. Let's not forget that Dortmund did nick that away goal, though. And I think that, you know, they'll be mad keen on trying to score as many as possible and get themselves through. I think Dortmund might do it, though. You know, I see what you're saying. I think this is going to be a cracking game. I think Dortmund, we know what Dortmund are like when they get the crowd behind them and they really push.
Yeah.
I think Dortmund are going to have a real go at this one. And I think they'll win the game. Whether they go, you know, whether they go through is another matter, though. I can see Juve going through, but there's something about Dortmund that makes me think that their whole season revolves around this game. As does Juve's, I suppose, but they're going to win the league anyway. I think the hunger from Dortmund might be the thing that just sends them over the line. In terms of the 90 minutes, it's just that 5-4. Again, probably a match result on both teams to score again. Mm. You know, it's all right Juve sitting back, but if you invite Dortmund on and they are flying, and they have been scoring, you know, I know they that last home result against Köln, 0-0 at the weekend, I was surprised by that, and they did 0-0. But before that, Aubameyang and Royce had been scoring plenty of goals, hadn't they? So I think they've saved the best for the Champions League this season all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to trust them to win the game in the 90 minutes. Whether they go through or not is a different matter. But Borussia Dortmund to win, both teams to score 100-30 for me.
Okay. I do quite like Juve. I'm tempted at the prices, but the best bet for me is going against yours, really. It's just under 2.5 at 8-11.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
I just think it's going to be really tight, not so much cagey, but I just think you've got two sides that can defend and two sides that aren't hell-bent on attacking. Dortmund won't be throwing everything at Juve because they know that if they let one in, then they're scuppered. Yeah. So,
another goal scorer bet, by the way, you know, if you think Juve will score, is Tevez at 13-8. Mm. Nice. You know, he's a finisher, isn't he? We know what he's like. You know his pedigree in the top-level competitions as well. And it's hard, you know, Dortmund have hardly been the most watertight defence this season. Like last two games, haven't conceded, haven't scored. Had those two clean sheets before that in the Cup and the Bundesliga, but probably a slightly different level of opposition here. So, yeah. But the Dortmund win and both teams to score for me.
Okay, the final game we're going to look at on this edition of The Punt is from the Europa League. Dynamo Kiev against Everton. This one on Thursday evening, 2-1 to Everton in the first leg. Everton arrive off the back of a win against Newcastle. Were edgy though in that game. The fact they're away from home here, Lee, I think will help them. I don't, you know, with no fans to sort of get on their back, I think it will help them on this occasion. That win against Newcastle was the first time since November that they've won two games in a row. They are yet to win three in a row this season, but they don't need to. Do they? Dynamo Kiev 21-20, the draw 12-5, Everton are 13-5, Everton 4-7 to qualify, with the Ukrainians coming in at 5-4.
Yeah, interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, Dynamo Kiev, obviously a strong home team, conceded against Gwingamp in the last home game in the Europa League when they won 3-1. That's the danger for them, if they concede a goal to this Everton team, who was so free-scoring. I mean, they scored two at Wolfsburg and four at Young Boys. You know, I think, you know, it's Lukaku is just making this competition his own. It's so strong. I mean, I know the 3-0 win against Newcastle was a bit more like it, but he obviously scored in the home leg against Kiev as well. He scored two in the home leg against Young Boys. It's just been great. And I wonder if he can bully this Kiev defence a little bit. Can they sit back enough and keep Kiev out? Because Kiev have got goals in them. Mm-hmm. You know, scored three against Gwingamp. Two in the group stages, they managed to score seven home goals in the three matches as well. If Everton go in with the mindset of defending for their lives, like they did against Chelsea in the Premier League not so long ago, then they could do it. I just worry that they'll get dragged into a toe-to-toe kind of a match like they did against Young Boys. Mm. That's my worry.
I think Kiev are a really good price here.
Yeah. My initial thoughts were that I liked Everton, but the more I look at this game, the more I wonder, have they quite got enough? This is a top European team. Mm. Some of these other teams have been playing, you know. I mean, Young Boys, that Swiss league, it isn't much to write home about.
No, but
fair.
At the same time, neither is the Ukrainian. It's not the most solid, but in Kiev,
but
you've
Donetsk
got proven
and Kiev, you have,
European
I think the top
pedigree.
Two. I'd say the top two in this league are better than Basel and Young Boys in the Swiss league. And it's, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's a tricky place to go, etc., etc. I was surprised to see Kiev at odds against, I must admit. So I'll play them at odds against to win the game. Whether they go through or not is another matter, because they've got a mountain to overhaul, really. And the more they push forward, the more it will leave Everton with chances to score against them. Only a 2-1, of course, but they've got that away goal. So yeah, Kiev to win the game at 21-20 to qualify.
5-4. I can't fathom the prices there because Kiev, of course, have to win in order to qualify.
Yeah.
Just take them to win. The price difference is negligible, yeah. and the only way that it would differ is if Everton score more than two, which they won't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm in full agreement. Kiev home win on the night, 21-20 is not too bad, but I like what you're lining up there.
Yeah, Lukaku, 2-1, big price. And I mean, I think we put up a goal scoring every single game so far, and the reason for that is that in Europe, for some reason, the traders give us much better value for goal scorers than they do in the Premier League. And it's not like we see fewer goals. We see plenty of goals in Everton's Europa League games. You know, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. All right, the Krasnodar game when they were already qualified was a 1-0. 2-0 at Wolfsburg, 3-0 against Lille, 4-1 against Wolfsburg in the Goodison leg. You know, it's very rare that we don't see it, and we know that Kiev have to go out and score. So I think 2-1 for a man who's been scoring for fun in this competition is very nice indeed.
Let's talk about penalties.
Okay.
Because Leighton Baines doesn't take them anymore, seemingly. Marais, of course, took one off him and then missed it. But Lukaku took one at the weekend when Baines was on the pitch. Can't understand that because Baines' penalty record is superb. I think he's only missed one in his career. But factor then 20 bets you have. Baines is 19-5 any time. And if he is no longer the penalty taker, we won't know until they get another one. But
no.
Then that can only enhance the Lukaku at 2-1.
True. Yeah,
but Baines at 19-5 for a left back who doesn't take penalties is a bad bet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's if he's not taking pens. Watch him get one and he takes it now. But if Lukaku is taking them, then 2-1, you know, it just helps that bet along, doesn't it?
Yeah. Interesting stat. Dynamo have only won 4 of the 23 encounters with English sides, which is quite. You know, I like looking at those because sometimes it does give you an idea of how much better the Premier League is. I think in the Champions League we've seen that the Premier League teams have been off the pace, but in the Europa League I think maybe that because you're looking at the second and third teams down in the division usually, then that's why maybe some of Everton's people have been so surprised that Everton have had such good results in Europa League and such bad results in the Premier League. We're not talking about that now. We're talking about the best team in Ukraine. At this stage now we're starting to talk about really good sides, so yeah, I think I do like that odds against. I think there might be a touch of you know, wanting to, you know, maybe underestimating Dynamo Kiev a little bit at 21-20.
Okay. Right then, shall we have a nap?
Well, we don't do naps midweek, but we can have a nap. No, but we can do it for fun.
Okay, let's do it for funsies.
Yeah, let's. What are you going for?
I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Bellarabi anytime. 3-1 for Leverkusen at Atleti. It's too big.
Nice. I'll go for Giroud anytime then at 7-5, I think I said it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arsenal have to score goals. I think they will score at least one. And I think Giroud has been in good nick. Even in that leg where he missed so many chances against Monaco, he was in the right positions. And I think he's a good bet to score in his native land.
Yes. Fair enough. Giroud, who's of course in very good form, and Bellarabi, who's pacey on the break. So we put those two together. 3-1 for Bellarabi anytime, 7-5 for Giroud anytime. And it comes to over 8.5-1, over 17-2. Not too bad.
Nice.
For two anytime goal scorers, I don't think.
I might put some of your hard earned on that.
My hard earned? I'm not getting paid for this, Lee.
Oh, right. No.
If you're under the impression I'm getting paid, then you're wrong.
Okay.
Right, lovely stuff.
Thank you, Alex.
Who's in at the weekend?
Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern and myself. We didn't have the greatest of weeks at the Premier League weekend, I must admit. So we need to pick up our socks. Is that in the...
Pick up your socks.
Yes.
Roll your socks up. That's what you do.
Pull your socks up.
Just pick your socks up. Right, a pleasure hosting The Punt once again. I've been Alex Dunn, you've been Lee Phelps. We'll be back on Friday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.